Welcome to Season 8, Episode 16 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be reviewing some Ubuntu computers. We also have some command line lore, and we'll go over your feedback. I'm Mark, and joining me with this week are Alan, hello. Laura,
hello,
and Martin.
Hiya!
So, Alan, what have you been up to?
I've been playing with RetroPie on my Raspberry Pi 2. I wanted to play some old retro games, like emulated stuff on various consoles and arcade games. So I downloaded RetroPie, put it on SD card, and put it on my Raspberry Pi 2, and I thought that would be good. And then I realized, I'm going to fill this SD card up with stuff, with like games that I want to play. So instead, I mounted a Samba Share on my home server, and I put the games on my home server. So that I thought, maybe I'll have more than one RetroPie, and they can all mount that central file system.
So, cool. Yeah, so what sort of games does it let you play?
Like emulated everything you can think of, from the NES, the Super Nintendo, all the way up to the N64, which is a bit slow. On the Pi, but it also emulates x86 PCs, Amigas. Slow.
Is this on a Raspberry Pi 2?
Yes, I'm using a Raspberry Pi 2, yes. So cool. A bit more horsepower. But the nice thing is I can just plug in an Xbox 360 controller into the USB port and use that, and it works really nicely. Auto configures and stuff. It's really good.
Laura, what have you been doing?
Laptop problems.
Oh, what sort of laptop problems?
Update problems, actually. The first of all was Chrome got updated and then everything went big.
Big.
Like the toolbar and the fonts and things. It was weird. You couldn't use it. Oh. I found a link online on a Reddit thread, actually. So I'll post that in the show notes because apparently other people have had it. And in fact, somebody said that they'd had it on Windows last year and occasionally get it when there's an update. It's a bit weird.
Yeah. Google fessed up and said they'd made a mistake and they pushed an update out.
Yeah. So it shouldn't be a problem now, but I'll post the link because it seems to be a good workaround for when you do need it.
Cool.
The other one was a bit worse, really, because I lost all my desktop on Unity. We tracked it down, Alan and Martin mainly, tracked it down as well. It was the OpenOffice installation I'd installed separately was clashing with the LibreOffice installation that comes automatically with the desktop.
That was breaking Unity.
Well, I think the actual clash was when I installed a plugin that integrates each of them with the launcher, only they use the same plugin to do it. And I remember there being all kinds of problems and I'd had to uninstall, reinstall, blah, blah, until it worked, and eventually it worked. The reason I'd done it is because LibreOffice kept crashing on me, so I'd installed OpenOffice. It's a shame there isn't just one of them, really, like a combined version of LibreOffice and OpenOffice. There was then an update which seemed to then try and remove something. And of course, because the desktop is reliant on LibreOffice, something got screwed up.
Yes.
And remove the desktop.
Yes.
But without removing the whole of LibreOffice and OpenOffice first, it couldn't reinstall the desktop and Unity. And Alan realized that's what the problem was. And then Martin gave us some commands, and I can't remember what they did.
Said compes, didn't they?
Yeah.
But it worked. Yes. Cool. It was getting compes back.
So you're okay now? Yep. Just in time for the show.
Yep.
Perfect. Martin, how about you?
Well, I've been on holiday with my family, so I'm looking more sun-kissed and handsome than ever before. And after
surely not.
I know it's
it comes over really well on Mumble.
Yeah. and then after getting back from holiday, I helped out with the last bit of the release engineering for the Mate Desktop 1.10, which we pushed out last week. So due to some people in the project being really busy, I spent a couple of evenings working on that. And it's the first time I've gone through that process. And it was really enjoyable working with people from Slackware and Fedora and Arch and Debian and Linux Mint and Alpine Linux and Salix. It was really good to see all these distributions all doing stuff at the same time. It was rather brilliant.
Cool.
And then almost a segue into the main segment, I've received some laptops from Entroware. So I've got some new computers. And
is this some sort of sponsorship deal we've got going?
Yeah, we'll get onto that in a moment. But what about you, Mark? How's stuff been going with you?
I've had laptop problems too.
Hopefully not with the Entroware laptops.
Not with the Entroware laptops, with my own laptop. my power jack came to pieces, basically, meaning my laptop couldn't charge anymore.
That's
which was
bad.
Problematic. So I had to dismantle the whole thing and desolder it off the motherboard and solder a new one on. Bearing in mind, I haven't done any soldering since I was at school.
What make of laptop?
I managed to get it working again.
What type of laptop?
So what type of laptop? It's like an Ultrabook.
Like an Ultrabook?
Well, it is. It's an Ultrabook. It's an Asus ZenBook. Like a MacBook Air style laptop. Right.
Looks a lot like mine, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
What make is it?
Really thin. It's an Asus. Okay. But it's very... Before I bought it, I checked on iFixit.com. They did a teardown of it, and it's very easy to dismantle.
Oh, nice.
So I was confident that I'd be able to get it the bit I needed. It was just getting it off the motherboard was the tricky bit.
Awesome.
I'm glad my problems could be fixed over Telegram.
Yes.
Yeah, remote soldering, not an option.
Right.
Yeah. Right, shall we get on with it?
So this week we're going to do some reviews of the Entroware Proteus laptop and the Entroware Aura NUC. But before we begin, full disclosure, Ubuntu Mate has a hardware partnership with Entroware, who support the Ubuntu Mate project financially, and as you just heard in the opening remarks, with Hardware 2. I, Martin, I'm the lead developer of Ubuntu Mate. Entroware were kind enough to provide the Ubuntu podcast with the Proteus laptop and the Aura NUC to review, and in a thinly veiled attempt at fairness and transparency, Mark was elected to be the reviewer. So, over to you, Mark.
Right. So, I got sent two very different devices. The first was the Proteus laptop, which is sold as a gaming laptop, and the second is the Aura, which is a desktop device, which is an Intel NUC. So I'm going to start by talking about the Proteus, and then I'll move on to talk about the NUC and a bit about sort of how they compare in terms of, you know, what they're capable of. And, you know, I'm sure you guys will chip in with questions as we go through. I've made some notes here. So the Proteus, the first thing you notice about it, it's got a really solid kind of industrial look and feel, but also quite modern. It's not just like your square ThinkPad kind of thing. It's kind of similar to a ThinkPad in how it feels to the touch, but it's also got nice sort of like chopped off corners, and it's, you know, really kind of beefy. So that's quite cool. It's got, you know, it feels like a nice high power gaming machine.
Would it be one that you would be willing to be seen in public with?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yes. Yeah, I'd even be willing to be seen in private with it, to be honest.
And that's the real test.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I turned it on. It had an OEM install of Ubuntu Mate. Really quick to boot, partly thanks to the fact that it came with an SSD. You get a nice branded Entroware setup screen to do the initial setup of your language and your time zone and so on. Finishes the setup, presents the login screen. All very quick, very nicely done. There's no sort of dropping to terminal or any weirdness like that. So it's, you know, it's nice experience for the new user.
What sort of specs is it?
We will be putting the specs in the show notes. I believe it had an Intel i5 CPU, 8 gigs of RAM, Nvidia graphics, a screen which I'll get onto in a minute. I'm getting sidetracked. So I'll probably cover some more of the specs as I go through and talk about them. So the keyboard is a nice sort of soft to touch. I don't know what you call them, the Mac copies of cat keyboards.
Chiclet,
is that the word?
Can I just interject here?
Yes.
On the keyboard. I've been buying old ThinkPads for years and years and years off eBay because I really like that ThinkPad keyboard. And I was sure I was going to hate these chiclet keyboards, but I've actually been surprised. I really like the keyboard on the Proteus. It's genuinely surprised me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've got a laptop with it. My girlfriend's got a laptop with the same kind of keyboards. But I think the one on the entryway is really nice to type on. One small complaint about the keyboard is they've attempted to give it a Linux key, but they've just stuck a penguin sticker over the Windows key, and you can still see the Windows logo shining through it, and it kind of looks and feels a bit crappy. But, you know, it's nice thought, but, you know, it could probably have done without it, to be honest. So I mentioned it had an NVIDIA graphics card. So the NVIDIA driver is installed by default, but it's not enabled by default. So there's a utility called NVIDIA Graphics Manager or something, where you have to go into it and sudo like a prompt for your password, and then you say, I want to switch to NVIDIA, and then you have to log out and in again if you want the NVIDIA graphics. And then you have to do the same if you want to switch back to the Intel graphics to save power, because the Intel chip uses more power.
So it doesn't dynamically switch
sorry,
between them.
Sorry, the other way around. NVIDIA chip uses more power. Sorry, say that again?
Doesn't dynamically switch between them. You have to...
Dynamically switch between them. And it would kind of be nice if there was like a, you know, just like a tray applet where you could just click it and it would switch for you, rather than you having to go and dig in the menus and find the thing and type in your password. Okay.
Should take that up with the developer of the operating system if I was you.
Yeah, really should. This was also my first experience with Ubuntu Mate. I'm trying not to review Ubuntu Mate too much because it's supposed to be a hardware review, but some of that will probably come out as I go. That was the other thing. So when I had to log out and in again, I couldn't find how to log out because where I thought it would be only let me shut down. That's just me not being used to Mate. The Wi-Fi was working out of the box. No problems there. I didn't have to faff around with any drivers at all, really. It was all just working. So the screen is a HD screen, 920 by 1080, 13.5 inches or thereabouts. Which is nice to have a nice high quality screen. The trouble is the effect you get when you have a small screen with high resolution is everything's very small. So that meant that I had to spend a while twiddling around finding how to make the fonts bigger, how to make the panels bigger, and in Firefox I had to adjust there's a about config setting you have to adjust to make everything big, otherwise you just end up with like tiny little text on all of your web pages. It's a shame there's not a unified way of just doing that, or it's also a shame that it doesn't come, you know, configured by the manufacturer to look okay on the screen it's got. But you know, once I found the settings I needed, it looks good. It's a nice screen, certainly. When I installed Steam, because of course it's a gaming machine, so I did have to play some games on it, which, you know, I'm sure you can imagine was a real chore for me. The Steam pops up a terminal for you to enter your password in, and the text on that was absolutely minuscule, like 5 or 6 pixels high. So there's still some inconsistency with support for high DPI screens, unfortunately. So because it's got a graphics card, big graphics card, it's got a big heatsink. One side of the computer is basically open with a grill on it. And when you start playing games, you really notice it, because it's got a fan on the underside, which it sucks air up and spits it out the side. And it really does warm up a bit, and it gets pretty noisy because it's not a big fan, so it has to work fairly hard. But that said, for all that, it does have very good graphics performance.
So this might be a naive question, but this is an i5. I thought i7 was more powerful and therefore more appropriate for gaming.
i7 is more powerful, and it does have i7 available as an option when you buy one, but the i7 is the CPU, not the GPU. So the GPU is what affects the graphics performance in terms of, you know, how it looks. I mean, the how smoothly it runs and how much it can do like how quickly it can process things will be affected by the fact it's got an i5, but nothing I played had a problem with it having an i5.
What was the most meaty thing you played on it?
That's a good question, actually. I had a bit of trouble with this because I wanted to try and sort of stress test it, but there aren't that many Linux games on Steam which are particularly graphically challenging. I did find a handy thing on Half-Life 2 Lost Coast, which was a sort of DLC thing they released, which has a video stress test where, because Lost Coast was basically like a graphics technology preview thing where they had a lot of like fancy lighting effects which weren't really common at the time and weren't in the main Half-Life 2 game. So you can hit all those on and say stress tests, and it'll do a little sequence through the game and tell you the frame rate. So I tried that on various devices, including with the Intel graphics on and with the Nvidia graphics on, and my main gaming rig, and the Proteus laptop was far and away, with the Nvidia graphics on, far and away the most performant. So, you know, it can really do some good stuff.
Right.
That it's fair to say.
But it just gets a little bit warm and blows a bit of a
it does
gale
get a little bit warm.
Going.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, if you probably want to wear a headset.
did you use it as a laptop, as in, like, on your lap much? And is it heavy, bulky? Would you find it cumbersome
to
carry?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm used to my Ultrabook, which is very, you know, very light, very thin, very portable. This, you can carry it around. I put it in a rucksack to take to my friend's house to play some games there. You really notice it if you've got it on your back. You wouldn't want this on your, like, carry around at a conference all day or anything like that. You can take it with you if you want to move it from one place to another, but you don't, it's not like an on the go device by any means.
Right.
It's interesting you say that, because with my background with ThinkPads and the pictures of the Proteus on the website, I was expecting this to be a lot chunkier and a lot bigger and a lot heavier than it actually was. And by comparison with my ThinkPads, it's positively felt like. But having,
what's your newest ThinkPad?
Oh, an X201, which is the smallest one I've got, and sort of T61P, something like that.
But Mark's main machine is an
Ultrabook. I've also been sent an Entroware Apollo Ultrabook. So I do now appreciate what an Ultrabook looks like, which tapers so thinly, you know, at the front edge, I could probably shave with it. So yes, your point is well taken about the size of the Proteus.
Cool. Yeah. So as well as having the good graphics, it's got good connectivity for external monitors. It's got a full size VGA connector, which you don't often see on laptops these days. And it's got full size HDMI as well. So nice and easy to connect up to
other
things.
Is it HDMI or DisplayPort?
No, it's HDMI.
Right, cool.
I did a bit of testing of how long the battery lasted. With a gaming machine, it's designed for performance, not for battery life. I found the battery lasted about 3 hours with the Nvidia graphics enabled. And that was a bit of gaming, a bit of moderate usage, just doing general browsing and stuff. So it's not going to win any endurance awards from that point of view, but you know, you can run it on battery without it just dying on you.
So
to be fair, that's what my XPS does.
But on that point, I also have done some battery endurance tests, and I installed TLP, and if you're not familiar with TLP, it's an advanced Linux power management utility, and will be integrated in Ubuntu Mate 15.10. and on the Proteus with the Nvidia graphics, I got it to run for just over 5 hours, using it for video streaming and computer programming and compiling packages and things of that nature. And with the Intel HD graphics enabled, I managed to get it to go for a touch over 6 hours. So, but this is the magic of TLP. TLP will improve the battery endurance on just about anything you install it on. So. But without it, my battery lifetimes were similar to what you've reported, Mark.
Right.
So how about the... sorry, go on, Mark, but we're running low on time, so...
Yes, I was just saying I should probably move on to the Aura. So as I said, the Aura is an Intel NUC device, so it's a little box about sort of 4 inches square, It's, you know, really nice, compact little device, really sort of, well, weighty, kind of like a massive paperweight with a load of USB ports on, basically. So it's all Intel hardware, integrated Intel graphics, all, so all of that works out of the box. i5 processor in there again. I think there's the option for an i3 or an i5. The connectivity was a bit of an issue with this. So it's got a mini display port, which requires an adapter, and it's also got HDMI, but it's only got mini HDMI, and then it comes with a male-to-male mini HDMI to full HDMI cable. So if you're plugging it into a monitor with an HDMI input, that's fine, but if you want to plug an HDMI cable into it, you can't. So I had to buy an adapter so that I could plug it into one of my monitors, which was a bit annoying.
So does it assume that it's going to be attached to the back of a screen, and so a short cable from...
Exactly, yes. I mean, it's not that short a cable, it's just it assumes that you are using that cable to plug it into an HDMI port, or you're using an adapter and doing display.
So did this also ship with Ubuntu Mate 15.04?
It did, yes.
Same OEM intro process.
Same, the experience other than that was exactly the same. The only difference was no NVIDIA drivers. Wi-Fi was working out of the box again. It's got loads of USB ports all over it, and it's got wired Ethernet as well, and that's all working fine. I found just as a workstation, it was a really solid machine, really good, really performant. I recorded last week's show on it, and I did some audio editing on it. It also came with an SSD, so it's really fast for audio editing compared to my... doing it on my laptop with a spinning hard drive, it took me about half the time to edit a show. So, you know, it's a good, powerful machine, especially for its size. It runs very cool and really quiet. It does have a small fan, I think. It makes a bit of noise, but generally it's, you know, nothing like the fan on the Proteus by any means. I did want to push this to its limits just to see what it was capable of in terms of performance, in terms of graphical performance with the integrated Intel graphics. I found it can play 1080p video no problem at all.
What was that? Was that H.264 or was it a YouTube video or what?
That was H.264. YouTube, I tried playing some YouTube videos just straight out of the box, which was HTML5 rather than... playing with Flash, and I found that was problematic. It, for some reason, it just didn't seem to like it. It stuttered and didn't play very smoothly
at
all. Then I tried playing. That was in Firefox. Yes. Then I tried playing iPlayer videos in Chrome, which is Flash, and they were fine. Played in HD, no problem.
Cool.
I installed some games. Local gaming was fine. Not going to win any prizes for prettiness, really. It'll play sort of moderate graphics settings fairly well. High graphics settings, you start to get frame rates dropping. I did also try in-home streaming from both the Entroware laptop and my main Steam machine, and that didn't go down very well at all. It was really laggy. I could see the video, but it was obviously compressed. There were lots of artifacts and the input. Like if I move the mouse across the screen, it took a while before it caught up with what I was doing.
Are you doing that over Wi-Fi or over the gigabit Ethernet?
No, that was wired.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yes. It really didn't take too well to that for some reason. And I've done it over my network with other machines and it's been absolutely fine. I'm not really sure what the cause was there, but it doesn't seem too suited to that. And also, when it's gaming, it does heat up a bit. It doesn't get noisy, but it does heat up a bit.
So it sounds like it's the kind of typical like desktop use cases that would cover.
Yeah, absolutely. If you just want like a desktop for doing sort of normal home desktop-y stuff, you don't need to buy any sort of tower PC anymore. You just want one of these. You really do.
Did you try Minecraft?
And if I just wanted something which was like a dedicated audio editing workstation, I'd definitely get one of these.
The most important thing, did you test Minecraft?
I didn't test Minecraft. Dear. I'm sure it would have run Minecraft fine.
You can report back to Sam.
So, although the Proteus is sort of pitched as a gaming laptop, I've been using it to do a lot of the heavy lifting for building packages in Debian and Arch Linux. And I'd say that although the Proteus is chunky, but not chunky by some standards. It actually also makes a really good professional development workstation as well, if you want something that's mobile or relatively mobile. So, you know, with the NVIDIA graphics turned off, you can get a decent battery life out of it, and you've got gobs of processing power at your disposal as well. So I would consider it for that. And in fact, I haven't put that Proteus down since I've received it. I've really taken to it.
Cool.
Nice. Any other points or comments?
On the topic of tuck stickers on the super key, I do know that Entroware want to resolve that, but until their sales volumes increase, that isn't an option that's open to them, which is why there's a sticker on that key at the moment.
Right, they're not going to open every box and prize off the Windows key and stick on.
I think you have to...
you'd have to take the whole keyboard out, wouldn't you, and replace it.
Oh, really?
I didn't even get a sticker on my XPS.
Outrage.
Think yourself lucky.
Well, thanks for doing the review, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
That's all right. Thank you to Entroware for sending the devices.
And if any of our listeners have ordered one or are thinking of ordering one, then feel free to get in touch with us, show@ubuntupodcast.org.
And if anyone else wants to send us...
And now it's time for command line love, apparently.
Whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
Seamless.
This one's from Anton Piatek. I don't know how he sent this in, but he did. And he says...
I believe he emailed it.
Okay, I didn't see that. He says, I thoroughly recommend looking into liquid prompts for enhancing your command line status line. I have never seen this. What is this?
Basically, it lets you create profiles for your bash prompt, which rather than just saying what directory you're in and showing whether you're logged in as root or a normal user, it can show you all kinds of other stuff. Like if you're in a folder, which is a Git repository, it can show you what branch you're on. It can show you sort of statuses or your CPU usage at the time, or it can show you the current time. All kinds of things.
And does this go in the actual prompt, or it says status line? So is that like at the bottom of the terminal or something?
No, it is. It's in the prompt.
It's actually inside the prompt itself.
Yes.
Golly. Yes. There's a screenshot on their GitHub that we'll link to. There's a screenshot which actually is a screenshot from an Ubuntu system, which is nice.
Oh yeah.
Oh golly. Yeah. There's loads of. Detail. I'm finding that very difficult to pass because it's just like loads of info.
I did have a play with doing something similar to this because there's basically with Bash there's an environment variable which is the text that displays as your prompt, and you can basically write scripts which output into that variable, and you can have all sorts of information going in there. So when I was in a previous job, I found it useful to put in all sorts of information about Git and the current status in there so that I didn't accidentally commit things to the wrong branch and so on.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Thank you, Anton.
Yes.
And if you have a command line love or hardware to send us or anything, just send us an email, show@ubuntupodcast.org.
Nice recovery.
And now it's time for your feedback. Mark Ozin emailed us in on show@ubuntupodcast.org.
Hi all. I discovered your podcast recently and I have been hoovering up all the episodes you've made on my journeys to work and the tube in London. Thanks for your discussions this season. I've purchased the BQ Aquarius 4.5 and I've started teaching myself how to use the Ubuntu SDK.
Sweet.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Winner.
Yeah. That's really good news. It's funny because, I don't actually know how many of those phones have been sold. And, I don't know how many we have influenced people to buy through talking
one,
about constantly.
That one there.
But that one there we have.
A Martin.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah. Maybe more after we review
and
some.
If only we could influence somebody to give one away to, you know, one host gives another one away to another host, you know.
Yeah. So Lee emailed in.
I do enjoy the show, but not season 8, episode 12.
Oops.
The iTunes feed seems to be broken, at least for me. It has a new and different symbol against it, which is suspicious. Also, the website show notes for NTP involve a lot of different steps.
Hmm.
No, step ones.
Oh, step ones.
Someone messed up the ordered list tags. Ah.
So,
yes. So this was Popey's fault.
Great. Throw me under the bus.
Blame Popey.
Yes. Yes, it was. I got the URLs around the wrong way and I posted the OGG file to the MP3 feed and the MP3 to the OGG feed.
No, in fact, you just put the OGG to both feeds.
Oh, did I?
The OGG feed was fine.
I was going to say it's easily done, the switching around, but not getting that wrong.
We apologise for this one already.
I think we have.
Yeah. I think so. It's probably me just getting it,
it's only
feedback.
It's only,
we're so
it's
sorry
only freedom
said,
haters
we're
who
so sorry
who
we've said
problem.
It twice.
Yes.
We're sorry if we've offended you.
Mm.
You can download the show off the website. It's all fixed now.
And hopefully if you refresh, the iTunes feed should be fixed. It should know there's a different file there. So I do appreciate you letting us know when we mess up like this, though. It is very much appreciated so that we can fix them.
Yes. Sam emailed in.
In my opinion, one of the most important aspects of an open source project that distinguishes it from a closed source software is the way the project handles bug reports. I've noticed a disturbing trend in Ubuntu towards completely ignoring bug reports. In the beginning, Warty 4.10, Ubuntu was extremely respectful of its users' bug reports, with a prompt, human-generated reply to each and every bug, graciously thanking the user for taking time to report it and asking for any additional information needed to triage the bug. Pretty sure that's not completely human-generated. Fast forward to the recent years, and I now see a complete change in Ubuntu's attitude toward bug reports, which now borders on disinterested and apathetic. For example, since the beta and subsequent release of 15.04, I've reported 8 bugs. Of those 8 bugs, only one has received a human response. A quick overview of the recent activity in the bug tracker seems to indicate I'm not the only one who's being ignored. So what exactly is open about Ubuntu if all their development happens behind closed doors and they don't care about users' bug reports? Is the current release of Ubuntu essentially being put out to pasture with development only happening on the phone and Ubuntu snappy? Is Ubuntu getting too big for its britches? Well, golly. So I actually saw this. He actually posted this on Reddit as well, which I saw earlier today. And I searched for the guy on Launchpad to find his bug reports because he didn't actually link to his own bug reports. So I couldn't go and look at them to see what the problem was. And sure enough, there's some bug reports there. And it's a difficult one to like wrap up in a couple of minutes. But I would say a few things. One, there's a lot of bug reports and not a lot of people to triage them. That is a fact. You know, we need more people to help triage the bugs. Secondly, some bugs are better than others. Some bugs have, I tried to do this, this was the result, my expected result was this. Other bugs are long, rambling chunks of text that give opinions and ask questions and don't actually say...
And what kind of bugs were his?
A kind of mixture of all of those. So,
okay,
So I can understand the frustration of finding bugs and thinking that people are disinterested. And thinking that people, you know, don't care. When we do care, it's just there's just so many of them, and you know, it's hard to keep on top of all of them. And also, many of them were filed against upstream stuff that actually is not necessarily under our control. And you know, we're pulling in packages from Debian or some other upstream like Firefox or whatever. So I feel, you know, I feel for you, Sam. There's a lot of bugs out there. Feel free to dive in and help. Given you've been using it since 4.10. I'm sure you have a lot of skills in a lot of experience. And I would say to anyone who's interested in making Ubuntu better, then dive in and help out.
Really quickly, what's involved in doing a bit of triage? What skills do you need?
So it's all rather well documented, but you know, you can read a bug. I mean, simply read a bug port. and see if you can understand what it says and see if it clearly articulates in a language that a developer will understand what the issue is. You know, so I set an alarm on my clock. I expected the alarm to go off. The alarm did not go off, right? Not a great long ramble about how Arch Linux is better because it does this and that. And why doesn't Ubuntu do that? Yeah, that's not a bug report. That's a discussion topic. That should be on Reddit or Ask Ubuntu. A bug report should clearly articulate the problem and the expectations and things like, you know, the release of Ubuntu or the release of the particular driver or the kernel that's affected or something like that. Or, you know, the things that you've tried to work around this, those kind of things. And a lot of the time a triager can look at a bug and say, well, there's not enough information here for a developer to be able to make a diagnosis. Maybe we need a log file or a trace file, or maybe we need to get more information from, you know, from the user's system. There's a lot of detail you can get out of, tease out of a bug reporter, that they don't always necessarily put in the bug report right at the beginning. And a triager can get that information from them or suggest, you know, steps to take.
Cool.
That's it. Oh, no. Not quite. We also had... Not quite. We did this again. We also had a couple of comments on the website, on the post, including one from Jonathan Riddell, but someone called Adam as well, about Adrian, the discussion... Adrian, sorry, yes. About the discussion you guys had last week when I wasn't here, about the Kubuntu kerfuffle.
Mm-hmm. So rather than read those
out, would you like to expand on that, Mark? Because they're quite long, so just can you summarize it?
Essentially, yes. Jonathan objected to some of the comments we made, and I have responded to him regarding the comment I made. I didn't make both of the comments that he objected to, but it's a lot easier to read it rather than me try and summarize it, to be honest, because I thought about it quite a lot before I wrote it, and I haven't thought now, so I'll probably say the wrong thing.
Awesome.
Fair enough.
Well, we won't need to include links because you'll be on the website. But yeah, go to the website and you'll see the comments.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Thank you for all your feedback.
And that's all for episode 16. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week when we'll have more news, comment, and discussion. And we'll have eaten a curry.
Oh, yes.
Have we got anything lined up for...
Podcast curry.
For the second episode, interview or review or anything?
Don't know.
I'm sure we can think of something.
Maybe people...
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the curry.
Yeah, let's plan something.
Yeah, we could give an interim checkpoint on how we're doing.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's. Stop.